Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It is November 29th, a.k.a. Cyber Monday. It is
ASL.
Yeah. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast.
What does ASL mean?
Age, sex, location. It's old internet speak. Kevin was playing off the whole Cyber Monday thing. So
gotcha. Yeah.
Went right over. Ceiling fan. Ceiling fans are on sale. Dan's got them for you. They are over his head as well. And thank you guys for tuning in. If you're watching us live on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button, notification bell icon. Smash that like. You guys are listening to us on a podcatcher. If that podcatcher has a ratings and or review mechanism, just give us the full amount of stars that it'll let you give us, and then a review. We'll read the review loud and clear on the show. And yeah, I don't know. It feels weird. We should start calling this like Atlanta United FC Sometimes Weekly. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, it's the holidays, Tim.
It is the holidays. That's very true. That is very true. We got a couple folks in the trap, Jay Hannibal and Brittany S., the faithful. Jay Hannibal, like, immediately noticing Kevin's Bucky's hat that he's wearing. I'm surprised he is not wearing his Bucky's furry getup that he got along with it. I feel like a wardrobe change. Maybe... Definitely, in the works for this episode.
Definitely invested in the $20 Bucky's onesie. I could not pass it up. So,
wow, Kevin, you need to do that. My kids would love to see that.
All right, well, stand by.
Yeah. Anyway, Kendrick Brock asking if it's a change of scenery for me. It is not. I don't think I did introductions. I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host. You can't see Mr. Kevin Bradley over there. I'm in a different position. He's done the studio tonight on StreamYard on YouTube. And got Dan James.
Hello.
Yeah. We got some other folks in the trap. Kendrick Brock asking change of scenery. No, this is still my same. Let me tilt it up. You could see my scarf wall. The remnants of the studio before COVID hit and became my, my work from home refuge. Yeah. Richard Gordon, a little late, but what's up? How's it going, man? And then Llama Rama, finally able to come to a live one. Thank you for joining us.
Hey,
this
Llama
is exciting.
Rama. Is that a new name in the trap, Tim?
Yes, it is. I would assume so. I think so. Yeah, it reminds me because I read Llama, Red Pajama the other day. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was... I used to read that to my nephew whenever he was like 2 years old. Now I'm reading to my daughter.
This is what Animorphs must feel like.
Speaking of Animorphs, did you guys ever watch? Oh yes.
We have a
thumbnail for the episode. We have a thumbnail for the episode right now.
Hold on, Kevin.
I gotta screenshot this.
Oh boy.
There it is. Speaking of Animorphs, did you guys ever see that movie with Angelina Jolie called Changeling?
Yes.
No. Is that the one where she bends the bullet?
Has nothing to do with like morphing or changing into anything. It's like some wartime, some period piece. It's total bullshit.
Yeah. It's a very weird film.
Yeah.
No, did not see that.
Not okay.
Did you watch it, Tim?
No. But I found out it wasn't like an Animorph style movie, and I boycotted it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about her kid getting kidnapped.
See, that's not... Call it something else, then. Call it Prisoners, because that's what that movie was about, right?
Oh, like what a great movie that was.
I didn't see that one either. I don't think I could watch movies about kids getting kidnapped anymore. I don't think that's in the cards for me anytime soon.
No, I totally get that. Totally get that. It's a great movie, though. Got me hooked on Denis Villeneuve, so...
Oh, yeah. He's pretty great. Did you end up watching Enemy after we talked about it the other day? Okay.
No, I did not.
Watch Enemy.
All right, let me make a note for myself.
I still have not watched Dune. You both are fans of that movie, I believe.
Yeah, missing out.
I know. It's just...
Did you watch the new Blade Runner?
No. I never
watched
it.
It's on my list.
Yeah.
You gotta watch it, man.
I had to watch the first one first. Such a great movie. Beautiful architecture in it.
It's gorgeous, man. Yeah, his attention to detail and framing and cinematography is just really, really excellent.
Yeah, it's like Harrison Ford lived in a Frank Lloyd Wright apartment.
In the future.
Yeah, in the future.
Who did 24?
Frank Lloyd Wright apartment in the future.
Yeah.
Who did Blade Runner 2049? Was it Rian Johnson?
Denis Villeneuve.
No, oh, it was the same guy.
Oh, it was Denis Villeneuve? Okay. Yeah. What am I thinking that
That's Rian why I asked.
What did Rian Johnson do that was Ryan Gosling?
Jumper?
Also? Was it?
But sure that wasn't Ryan Gosling.
No,
that
Looper.
Looper, that's what I meant.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah,
Looper, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Who am I thinking of? Derek C. in France. He did a bunch of movies with Ryan Gosling. Like that stretch of weird movies that Ryan Gosling was in. I think Drive was maybe one of them. Pretty good movie. Yeah. Anyway, how are you guys feeling coming off Thanksgiving? Do you guys have a good time?
Good.
You guys,
I had a great time. Got out of town, went down to South Carolina, dipped my toes in the water.
Wow.
And then came back.
I gotta put the camera back down. People are gonna think I'm 4 feet tall.
You just had to get as close as you could to the UK, basically. Mm-hmm. Just get over as far as you could on the East Coast.
Well, my mom and dad are here, so that's kind of been my UK fix. It's nice because they make me cups of tea all the time. It's fantastic.
Just tea and what's the chicken? The chicken that your dad made on New Year's.
Oh, the curry?
Yeah.
Tikka masala?
No. What's the red chicken that you put in the oven?
The tandoori chicken.
Tandoori chicken. That's what I was thinking of.
Fantastic.
Are you a Tetley guy? Dan?
No, Tim. I'm a PG tips man.
Oh, that's right. Just the tips. I forgot about that.
Just the tips. Hey, pyramidal bags. It's all the rage.
I don't know. I am far from a snob when it comes to any sort of hot beverage. I bought CVS coffee the other day. It's like $4 for a bag and a pinch. Did not notice a difference. Like I can get craft brew from other, like local places. Or
Say that about a pot of Folgers. Tell me you can't notice the difference
in
Folgers.
I can notice the difference in Folgers, but I'm pretty sure that has methamphetamine in it.
Tim, you are the Doug Robeson of this podcast.
What do you mean?
He drinks whatever coffee or hot brand liquid is around in front of him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't drink Folgers. We tried that one time. Like we got a Costco membership. We went.
Oh God! I was like, that's a lot of Folgers.
That's a big thing of Folgers. Like I was of that mindset because normal bag coffee I'm not going to tell the difference. Like we drink the Amazon coffee. We drink the Kroger brand, whatever private selection stuff. But Folgers is just a different thing. It jacks me up. It tastes bad, one, and then two, it just heart palpitation city. Like that's, and I can handle my caffeine. I feel like there's something different in that coffee, and I don't know what it is.
Does it make your gout flare up as well?
No, I've only ever had one gout flare, Dan, and it was it was following a pulled pork sandwich from Jim and Nick's, which don't like Jim and Nix to begin with, really. And so I kind of wasted my only gout flare on a pretty mediocre pulled pork sandwich. So, I mean, cheese biscuits are pretty good, but you know.
Well, great show, guys.
Yeah, you live and you learn, I guess. Yeah. Dan, how does it feel that you're British and I have the King's disease? I have your King's disease.
The gout, yeah. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure most people in that age had gout. But is it the King's disease? I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was called. Yeah.
Random fact, I could be eligible to be an Irish citizen, so that's weird.
Why?
Because my maternal grandfather was Irish, an Irish citizen.
I fucking knew it.
Yeah.
This is the end of the biggest whodunit in my life.
I know. I feel like everyone needs to write it down. I'll bring it up again.
It's a sham.
It's a total sham. It's just
I'm calling up the Irish consulate. I'm saying this is a sham that he's filing for the citizenry.
It's all fallout from Brexit.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. It's been so long since we got knocked out of the playoffs. I don't know how to feel right now. Brittany S. We got to talk about it at some point. Brittany S. is saying, so Atlanta is leaving it late with the roster situation.
It's due tomorrow, right?
Who we're keeping. Mm-hmm. Which seems a little unfair, right? If teams are still playing in the playoffs, why is roster commitment?
They have a different deadline, Tim. So teams who advanced in the playoffs have a deadline after the final, I believe.
That's kind of shitty, though, don't you think? Don't you think, like, the same rules should be applied to every team? Or, like, same deadlines for every team? Because, like, I don't know. Because now, can't those teams in the playoffs see what the other teams are doing and decide who to let go based off of who they can go after?
I mean,
is that not a competitive advantage? That's what we're talking about, right? It's like who we're releasing, what contracts, what options we're declining, or which contracts we're, what options that we're exercising, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, teams know who's on an option year, and they know who's out of contract. So, Justin Merrim's going to be a free agent, right? Didn't I just read that? So teams already know. I mean, it's if they're gonna, yeah, he's gonna be out of contract along with Albert Ruznak. So teams know. I don't think it gives you much advantage.
It's just whether or not, like, the decision tomorrow is whether or not we're re-signing the people that are out of contract. Is that what you're saying?
I think tomorrow we just say it's a deadline of who we are declining options on.
Okay.
So.
Right. In which case, like, if we, yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm saying, Dan. Is like, it's a competitive advantage where it's like Real Salt Lake. They're still in the playoffs, right?
They are.
So they can look at Atlanta and say they didn't exercise the option on to Brittany as his point. Jürgen Damm. Let's say we have an option on Damm, and we decide not to. Like they can decide that they want to go after him, and they can cut bait with somebody else.
Right, but he's not on an option.
It was a hypothetical. I was just going along with the trap. What?
No, I know, but I don't think, like, from all the knowledge inside, I just don't feel it's going to give you much of a competitive advantage.
I don't know. What do you think, Kevin? Like, do you think that's advantageous for teams that are still in the playoffs, or do you think it's unfair that they're able to see who are not keeping so that they can kind of ponder who's going to be available on the...
I don't think it's really going to make that big of a difference any more so than the transfer portal does in college football, right? Like, there's going to be a couple standouts, but overall, I don't think it's going to change the dynamic of what's going to take place in the playoffs as a whole, you know?
And I think depending on the player's performance, teams know if you're going to decline an option.
Right, right.
Okay, fuck me, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah. Pretty much, Tim. Fuck you. Yeah.
I mean, fuck me, right?
No, it's really fuck me, Tim. It's really fuck me.
I don't think Atlanta's going to get through the first round, realistically. I think it's going to be I think it might get ugly and be a 2-0 NYC win, honestly. I don't want it to be, but that's kind of just the way I'm leaning, just based on the way things are trending. I do think that it's...
And then Dan goes on to say that Guzan's been playing some of his best games yet leading up to the playoffs, and that the defense is peaking at the right time. And Brad Guzan took that as an opportunity to just watch a ball fall into the back of the net without moving whatsoever.
I have a call to action for all the people in the trap and anybody listening to go to YouTube and then submit a copyright strike for Kevin playing our podcast clip on here, because
that's right. I
would like to see that punished. I don't like when you're right, especially when it doesn't behoove us for you to be right. Like, that doesn't. Like, fuck. Yeah. Jay Hennebaugh, exactly. Jeez, hit us in the core. Like, fuck's sake. That's like the worst time to get a prediction absolutely 100% correct. But yeah.
It was ugly. It was every bit of ugly as I thought it was going to be.
Dan, I'm going to put this on you. Worst howler, Robert Greene against the U.S., Clint Dempsey, or Brad Guzan and whatever the fuck Tati Castellanos did?
Oh, Rob Greene.
Okay.
Without a doubt. That's the biggest howler in my life.
Okay. That's pretty bad. Yeah.
It was awful. Yeah. I'd almost forgotten about it. And then
it's not as bad as my only goal in varsity soccer, where the keeper from Columbia High School saved it and rolled into the net. Granted, good old Bruce, the referee, was about to give us was about to give me a re-kick because there was a infringement in the box, but he saw it go in. He said, take it, fatso.
Take it, fatty. You need this more than I do.
Take the goal and then take yourself to your sweet 10 minutes getting back to half field for kickoff. No, it's pretty bad though, right? Like Brad Guzan's, there was a lot, like many people.
There was a lot of bad play in that game, man.
Well, many people on that goal could have probably stopped that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of guys just watching that one go in. It was so weird. I mean, fair play, Kev. You totally called it. I mean, we absolutely shit the bed. Like last week, Sydney 17 supporters said the team needs to put all the meat on the barbecue, and they didn't. They maybe put like half a hot dog and an already cooked hamburger on there. A
couple chicken livers.
And that's just and they're gonna
Hey. Don't disrespect a chicken liver.
But that's the problem. They threw them on the grill, not in the fryer where they're supposed to go.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it was just the worst playoff game we've ever played.
You can't even tell where the grill marks are on a chicken liver because it's black. Right. It's like, I can't even tell if this is cooked.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, I'm not glad because it means Kevin's right. But part of me is, I mean, it kind of, after seeing that game, it's, and you reflect on the season, you're like, yeah, I guess that kind of just where we were. That's where we were. Like we were, I think Joe Patrick said the sum of the talent was greater than the whole.
Yeah.
So we just didn't have the proper gel or chemistry between all the guys to really make it all flow together properly.
And you know what? It wasn't the field. It wasn't just the size of the
field. Oh, no.
There was so much wrong with that performance from top to bottom. First half wasn't terrible. There were some opportunities that were left on the table, and overall was a decent performance, let's say, in the first half. But they came out in the second half and just looked completely lost and devoid of any sort of ideas or second half adjustments to try to get one, much less two goals to claw it back once Castellanos put that first one in. So,
and they were up for it. I mean, there were a couple of shots. I think it was just to Maxi Morales, and he was like, he just, the energy and motivation on his face kind of told you that they were gonna take it. And Araujo absolutely shat the bed. I mean,
Joseph was completely absent too. I mean, even it's tough to see that, man. Whenever your breakout players, and my God, Ronald Pena over there talking about how Pity Martinez would have shown up and been a bigger difference maker than Araujo was. Like, I don't come on, man. You're grasping at straws here. Yeah. That was never going to be a difference maker. Yes, you expect Luis to show up more in that game, but it wasn't just on him. Like I said, there was issues from the back line all the way up to the top.
Yeah. You know, El Nasser, great. 3 goals, Pity Martinez. I mean, in the words of Cleon Salmon, if ifs and buts was candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. You know what I mean? Like, that's, it's, why are we talking about that? Is that where we're at? Is that where we're at with, like, I love Ron. I love Ron to death. But, like, is that where we're at, where we're talking about, like, players that we wish we still had and how they would have played in this game? Like,
give me what Luis Araujo produced in his tenure in his first half season, not even a full season, over what Pity Martinez did over the course of 2 years, and I will take Luis 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's the unfortunate thing, but it's also the exciting aspect of how the playoffs are laid out now, right? Granted, we were in the first round. It was always going to be one and done in the old format, but still, I mean, it is like a do or die situation.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we picked, I would say that was maybe, we probably had worse losses on the year, but that may have been the worst performance I've seen out of us, especially like with this full team that we've had. Because, I mean, to your point, what Joe Patrick's saying, I think, is absolutely correct. And it's weird because, I guess it's not that weird because Gonzalo Pineda's not been in for an entire season and didn't have a preseason, didn't have training camp, what have you. But, I mean, I would probably argue that we have a top three talent-wise team. Like, top to bottom, our starting 11 is probably one of the top three most talented teams in MLS. I think New England, rightfully, is probably up there as number one at this point. But I think we're rivaling those, and it's just unfortunate. It's unfortunate in the time that we, you know, I don't know, the game that we played, it just wasn't good. Like, it's just, and on top of it, it's not like anybody had like a just the shittiest performance. I mean, Araujo did not have, like, he had his worst performance I've seen of him, but like, it just seemed disjointed more than anything, if that makes sense. Like, it doesn't, it didn't seem like we were connecting at all. Not necessarily anybody playing like horrendous balls, or
there,
like,
was,
just,
there
nobody
was zero
was on the same
build
page.
Up. Yeah, there was zero build up at any position across the field.
And I blame that on the field.
I feel like they could not link together more than three passes consistently between players.
I mean, props to NYCFC for that. Yeah. Though. I mean, because it takes two to tango, right? Like, you're only as good as your opponent's going to let you be. And like you said, they were game for it. They were up for it. And they showed us.
And it was also, you know, that's also goes to say that, like, this was a relatively healthy Atlanta lineup. This was a lineup that saw Sosa return back into a lineup that hadn't been in there in a couple of weeks prior to that. So you've got all of your DPs on the field at once, which wasn't consistently the case down the stretch. You know, Joseph Martinez supposedly in there and healthy, and again, non-existent throughout the entirety of the game. And in games past where that was the case, we'd at least see him kind of drop back, get a little bit more involved, try to get some touches, but just nothing out of him, nothing out of Luis. You know, there's just Brad Guzan letting in that first, I think that first goal was just so demoralizing for everyone that they just sort of snowballed from there. But it's not like that first goal came in on a whim and NYCFC wasn't knocking for 20 minutes before it dropped in anyway, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they had the majority of the shots. You know, it's just, I mean, it was just one of those games where nothing was coming together for us. So,
I mean, to your point, Kevin, I mean, you see that for the way that first goal went in, it's like, it sounds stupid. It was like, you're playing FIFA against the computer. It's like, okay, this is how this is going to go. Why am I even playing?
Like, that's why I tweeted that thing. It's like, your opponent has left the match. It's like, you just rage quit at that point. Like, just leave.
Yeah. I mean, I think Barco is the only player that really was like out there trying to put the team on his back. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, he's been that guy the entire season, hasn't he?
$30 million transfer, Ezekiel Barco. I mean,
yep, zero rumors. But, you know, part of me worries about, maybe it was just because this team hasn't had really any consistency since the beginning of last year.
I just heard a zipper. Kevin's undressing.
I'm dying in this thing.
Oh,
man.
God.
Sweating it out. I did not take off the rest of my clothes whenever I put this thing on. I'm dying.
But you just hope that during, like, having an off season, having a full preseason, because we don't have to deal with Champions League this year, I believe. Next season.
No, we do, right?
We do. Who are we?
US Open Cup champions?
Oh, yeah, I don't think.
What do you mean?
Really getting that?
I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, we're the first ever three-time defending US Open Cup champions.
Right, but does this year actually get you a Champions League berth?
I don't know.
Yeah. So I just hope that Barco, Moreno, and Araujo can build that chemistry during this preseason. Like, they'll have a good camp with the guys. I worry that Joseph is on. I feel like if he has another year like he did this year, you've got to send him on. You can't tie that much capital up with him past next season.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, especially if he's not returning to form like you would hope he would. I think you give him this year as benefit of the doubt, considering, but with the amount of issues that he's had getting healthy, and he's certainly not getting any younger, you want to try to maintain him as long as possible. But at the same time, like, this team and this front office, who's been so adamant about how they want to win championships and they want to compete and they want to set the standard for the league and this thing and that thing. Well, at a certain point, if your DPs and your star strikers aren't producing goals that are putting you in that position to do that, you can't maintain that on a roster spot as such. You know, he certainly has a. I'm not saying that it's
both of you guys,
dude. So how long do you keep Joseph with the production?
Well, first of all, I think it goes without saying that the year after an ACL injury is a wash too. Like, an ACL,
oh, absolutely.
It's a 2-year injury. Right. Like, so I think the fact that he scored double digits in goals, right? What did he have? What do you have? 12?
He did. Yeah.
Yeah. 12 goals coming off of an ACL injury.
No, absolutely.
On a team in absolute tumult. And like,
absolutely.
I don't know. I saw his season, albeit a little inconsistent, as a huge positive. And I don't know. I feel optimistic about where he's going moving forward. I don't know that we're going to, I don't know. I personally feel like we're not going to be in a position where we have to think about cutting bait with him, but.
Anyway, all I'm saying is that if there's another 2 years of 12 goal seasons,
no,
you can't afford.
No,
to
no, no, you
that's,
can't do it at that point. But like,
that's the point I'm making. I'm not saying I'm not arguing that you're cutting him this year, even if he's putting up, you know, 15, 16, 17 goals. But there's an expiration date at some point if he's not driving those benchmarks that you're expecting him to, like Dan is saying. Like, you're paying him a certain amount of money, you're giving him that DP designation. Like, he's got to produce that caliber result, and you can't rest on the fact that there was an ACL injury indefinitely. And I don't think that's 1 or 2 years, like you're saying. I'm not expecting him to immediately come out and produce, but if you're going to compete, you've got to have a player in there that can produce results.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, you bring up Barco in preseason, and I wanted to ask you guys.
Is that going to work?
It's not, right? Like, because all signs point to Thomas Almeida being a signee for us in January, right? So who makes way for him as a designated player? It's either him, Luis, or Joseph. And I don't think it's Joseph or Luis at this point. So
it's Barco.
It's got to be Barco. Right? Barco. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to run some roster moves, the 2022 roster moves, by you guys. And I want to get an agree, disagree that they're going to be gone. They're going to be here. I think we've done this in the past, but Barco, are we all in agreement? Gone?
Gone.
That's the thing that, I mean, he has to, right? In order for Almeida to work, he has to.
I think it's an all but done deal at this point.
But we've heard nothing. Like, there's been zero leaks or rumors.
I mean, there doesn't always have to be. Like, we had no idea that Al Nassr was coming for Petey, right? I mean, it's true. Some teams play it kind of closer to the chest than others, but
true.
Yeah, but I think that was a very quick turnaround, which could absolutely happen. It's just, you usually, I don't know, you would just think that something would be happening.
You think maybe Newcastle comes in for him to try and fight relegation in January? The team like that? Like, I mean, a team that has capital, that has...
But would he not just play the same... He'd be in the same exact situation he was coming into Atlanta United, literally at another team where he's playing underneath the exact same player in Miguel Almiron over
but,
at Newcastle.
But Almiron, I don't even know if he's even being played in the correct positions and, like, not being played. Yeah,
he's still injured, I think.
No, I saw him play. He was playing the other day.
Did he play? Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay, good.
He did against Arsenal, I think, was who they played this weekend.
Jay's thinking that Barco stays a whole year more?
I don't see it. I don't see that happening at all. I honestly think a team is going to come calling for him, and I think a team fighting relegation in EPL is probably going to come calling for him. And it's probably not going to, obviously, I say in jest the $30 million move. I don't think it's going to be that, honestly. I think that there's probably a decent amount of money, like probably a $12 to $15 million transfer for somebody from England to come swoop him up in January. I think he moves.
I think he has to move. I'll be surprised if he goes to England, to be honest with you. I worry if he's very small. He's, you know, what is he? 120 pounds.
How big is Raheem Sterling? How big is Bernardo Silva? How big is
Yeah, but they're a lot better than Barco.
No, I get it.
I mean, fair point, Tim. Fair point. I just don't think he's going to be.
How big was Craig Bellamy, Dan? How big was Craig Bellamy?
Yeah, but Raheem Sterling also came through a Liverpool academy.
Manchester City Academy.
A Premier League academy.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we stole him from the Man City Academy, and then he went right back. I may be wrong.
Anyway, you're right, Tim. That's my concern.
And no, it was QPR, Dan, was QPR.
Well, maybe you're right. That my concern is his physicality. Maybe Spain. Stephen Perales, could Barco and Almeida play the same position? I feel like they are pretty much the same position.
Right. They're number 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the issue for the longest time between Barco and Moreno, too. Like, they finally kind of gotten that worked out. I can't imagine all three of them in there somehow. There's just no fucking way.
Yeah. That's fair. No, I mean, to your point, Dan, I'm trying to play devil's advocate, but I'm looking through the list of top performers when it comes to goals and assists in EPL, and you're right. I mean, none of them are really that diminutive in figure other than maybe Raheem Sterling. And like Bernardo Silva's pretty small. Other than that, I mean, you got like I don't even know, N'Golo Kanté. But completely different player, right? Like he's
yeah. Just and N'Golo Kanté would kick my ass. I mean,
yeah, he's unreal. Like that guy's so he's so fucking
he's,
good.
He's the one of the best players in the league.
I think he'll go down as one of the best holding midfielders I've ever seen play. I guess you would consider him that, right? I mean, he's box to box, but like anyway. All right.
So where do we get to? We got to
Miles Robinson. So we're all in consensus. Barco's gone.
Yep.
What about Miles, Kevin?
Gone.
Dan?
I could see him staying around for another year. I don't.
I think his stock's so high right now. I think it's a disadvantage keeping him versus what his stock is right now. Age, I think that the team's got to take, they're going to get some offers, and I think that it's going to be good enough offers to see him go this year.
I agree that if we get an appropriate offer that he goes, But I feel like, yeah, we're not going to sell him for, you know, if we get a low ball offer, he's going
to No, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's going to get pretty decent offers this season. I think his visibility with the national team has certainly helped that too. Had it just been an MLS performance, maybe he stays. But again, I think playing on that stage has maybe elevated the name and recognition a little bit higher.
I hope so. I think there's still a healthy anti-American bias from Europe.
I think what he has in his favor, and I've brought up one of the clubs before in RB Leipzig, but also in Stuttgart. I believe that Pellegrino Matarazzo is still managing, if he hasn't been sacked, I guess. But having American managers, having American managers in Germany, which the league is already probably seemingly the most American-friendly league in Europe, and Stuttgart being a team that's probably trying to re-cement their standing in German football, coming back up from Bundesliga B or Bundesliga 2, I guess. I could see him going to Germany. I think he moves. I think he has to, right? Like, I think it's time for him to head out.
And I think it's going to be okay. We got Campbell right behind him.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a one-for-one, but certainly seeing some reps and he's next man up right now, unless they sign somebody else, which is always a possibility, which that's what I'm really interested in seeing this offseason, is how much control and say Pineda's going to have in the acquisitions that the team takes on going into next season. Yeah.
So if someone comes in and offers $7 million, you take it?
Yeah.
It's found money with him right now. I mean, you've got him for nothing, you know?
And it's not just that. Like, I mean, the premium placed on center backs is not very high, right? I mean, to begin with. And then you have a guy that's mid-20s coming from MLS.
I don't think it'll be that low, though. I could see it being somewhere around 10.
What are our record trans? How much did Matt Miazga get sold for whenever he went to Chelsea from Red Bull? New York. Let's see. I think 17? That's. Oh, no. He was a couple million, maybe. Let's see. He transferred from Red Bulls to. It was 5 million. So, I mean, but granted, I think Matt Miazga back in 2016, how old would he have been? Like, he
inflation,
would have been...
Tim. Supply chain.
Ah, fuck. Yeah. It's COVID. Probably at this rate, it's like a $50 million transfer. I mean, the price of gas is anything.
There's a supply chain delay on center backs. You got to take all that stuff into consideration.
Yeah. Need to hire more truck drivers.
Long lead
drive times. Them over there.
So it's 2016. He would have been like 20 years old back then, 21. So he's obviously, I think Miles is older. I mean, that was 5 million at the time. Miazga was maybe the most promising center back we had in the national team setup outside of maybe John Brooks. Right. So I don't know. I don't see him surpassing double digits. I know legitimately inflation over the past 5 years, I guess it would be 6 going into 2022, is, I don't know, it might get there, but I don't.
9 to 10. 9 to 10 is my number, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I I'd sell him for 10, but if I keep him for another year, I'm not worried about it.
Huh. That's the thing. Like, I think he's as much as he loves Atlanta, or I assume he loves playing for Atlanta United.
The thing is, we've got one of the best defenders in the league for, he's not even 10.
Right. No, I know, but like it's not on us at that point, right? Like it's for us to like foster that relationship with him and to also see ourselves as a jumping off point for other incoming transfers at some point, right? Like you have to establish that pedigree in that attractive atmosphere or that attractive destination for these young players to come and kind of.
That you're grooming players as a jumping off point for that next level.
Burnish their reputation, as it were, before they get poached by some European club. We did Barco. Ooh, this one's interesting. Another, like, the youngest guy of this bunch, right?
Bello.
Yeah, George Bello, who is, of all the players that you know, we have and we will talk about. He has one that has had concrete rumors, at least named teams in the news or whatever you want to call it, the ITK crowd on Twitter, talking about teams that are in for him and interested. Do you see George Bello leaving, Dan?
Yeah, I could see him leave.
That's not the question. Do you see him leave? Is he leaving? This is like a predictions thing. Like, do you think he's going to be with the team next year?
I think that he will go. Yes. I don't think he's going to be with the team next year.
Kevin? Keep in mind, I don't want to like poison the well, but like, or I guess influence you too much, but we do have a starting MLS left back that's coming back to us that's never played for us, and Andrew Gutman, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've got Gutman for depth, yeah.
Yeah, or to be our starting left back if George Bello moves on.
Yeah,
part of...
He played, I think he played the majority of the games for Red Bull this year, right? Was he in the lineup? Yeah, he was in the lineup for them during their playoff match, too. He played... Sorry, Kevin. He played 23 games for Red Bulls as a loanee from Atlanta United. So,
part of me thinks for some reason that Bello's got one more year here.
Okay.
I don't know.
He's only 19.
Exactly. I think it's just, I don't know. I don't know that he's certainly gaining some interest, but I think that his game still has a lot to improve on. And to Dan's point earlier, like, I just don't know that his quality and level of play at that position is at the caliber that you see Miles Robinson right now. And that I think that he could benefit from another year to maybe garner the amount that Atlanta is going to be looking for, because it is going to be a more sought after position. And I think that he can certainly get there. So I don't think he's quite at a ceiling with the team. Whereas I think Miles, like, it's going to be the right time. So I think Bello stays one more year. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay. I mean, he hasn't been gangbusters like Alphonso Davies was with Vancouver, but I guess they're not in the same exact mold. I think Davies is a much more attacking and more direct player than George Bello is. But I think I'm going to use your point, Kevin, to go the opposite way and talk about how it's such a sought after position and a hard to fill position with quality. In left back, and if you can secure somebody at 19 years old for what seemingly a cheap price and not have to go for like a premium left back and kind of build him up.
So that's the thing as the club then, you know, because you know that that's going to be the case, that people are going to be willing to pay it if the stock is a little bit higher. And so do you sell low because you've got an offer, or do you take that year to really develop him, knowing that you could potentially gain an extra 5 to 7 million on his contract?
Yeah, but he's found money, right? He's a homegrown player.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the difference is just the position, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, center back is a dime a dozen, more or less. And I mean, while Miles Robinson is a standout player, certainly, you know, you're never going to get a whole lot of money for that position versus what the ceiling is for Bello, and knowing that he's not really there yet. I can see it going either way, but I think it'll be interesting. I think he's the most interesting prospect out of the roster to me, to see what happens this year.
I think he goes to Turkey and he goes to one of the rumored clubs in Galatasaray. I mean, they've had an American, at least one American on their team, another fullback in DeAndre Yedlin at one point. If not still, right? Is he still there? I can't remember if he's still there. Yeah, he still plays for Galatasaray. Still. So you could have, you know, left and right backs, American left and right backs play for Turkey or a Turkish club, which would be interesting.
I feel like if we sell Bello, it will be selling him. We won't be getting as much money as we hope for him, but if you're Bello and you get a bona fide offer, it's in your best interest to kind of force a move because you're so young. Whereas Miles, I don't think he would necessarily needs to force a move.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
I think Miles could stay.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, sorry, Tim, go ahead.
No, as you said, Brittany asked, pointing out, she's saying, speaking on Andrew Gutman in the trap, she's saying, not against us, saying he didn't play against us. Do we have some sort of parent parent club clause in a loan?
If you're loaned, if you're an intra-league loan in the MLS, you cannot play.
Oh, okay.
It's a loan.
I did not know that.
I know in Europe, you can designate that in the loan contract. It's not by default. I didn't know that it was by default in an MLS. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could throw the game.
Yeah. Well, in Europe, you can do, you know, you can do whatever you want in Europe, but in MLS, we've actually got structure and accountability.
Yeah, that's fair. That fucking financial fair play is so bogus.
Oh my gosh.
Another question going back to Miles Robinson, Jay Hannibal asking, how much does Defender of the Year raise stock? Have they come out with any of the MLS awards this season?
Yeah, Bruce Arena got Manager of the Year.
I saw that.
Let's see. We just have finalists so far, right? For like the player awards.
That's all I saw.
Miles
was on there for.
Yeah, he was. It was him, Yamar, and Walker Zimmerman.
I think Miles got fifth, right?
No, I mean, there's three. There are only three Defender of the Year finalists on MLS. Yeah, it's Yamar from Seattle Sounders, Yamar Gomez, Miles Robinson, and Walker Zimmerman. Interesting. I don't know how much that really raises the ceiling. I guess as much as South American Player of the Year, Petey Martinez, as much as that raised his stock. Steven Perales saying silly season prediction. Bello to Shakhtar Donetsk, surrounds himself with Brazilians, picks up some techers, and gets Champions League yearly. I mean, he'll get Champions League yearly with Galatasaray too, right? He'll just be playing with Turks instead of with Brazilians. That's such an odd club. Shakhtar. They're just full of Brazilians and playing in Ukraine. Okay, let's see. Joseph and Luis are here. I think Moreno's here. I think we're all agreeing on that, right? Like Lennon, Sosa, Franco. Like, anyway, I want to ask you guys. Go ahead, Dan.
So I've got a weird feeling about Moreno. I've got a weird feeling that he could just go.
You think so?
Yeah, and it's not based on anything. It's just a weird feeling I have. I really like him. You know, I feel he's a little bit divisive because he's not as good as we all want him to be, or hasn't shown everything that we want him to do. Because I think he's a fantastic player, and I just worry that, is he a good enough guy that you kind of have to build around? I don't think he's as good as just, I know. I feel like he needs to be a chef. He wants to be a chef when we need him to be a sous chef. You know what I mean?
I think aside from the beginning of the season, I guess the only thing I would say, but he was battling injury towards the end of the season. I'm having this whole conversation in my head right now. So I don't know. I thought that he was pretty outstanding as part of that front four. And I don't know. I thought he brought a lot of good things with him. I would hate to see him leave.
I would hate it too.
Because
he's
on a TAM deal, right? But like
I
think he's an outstanding player. I think we'd really benefit from having him next season, especially in the transition year, potentially when you're losing one of your attacking in the front four and Barco. You need more glue to hold the team together, I think, or to keep the team moving forward as you introduce a player like Thomas Almeida. Let's see. Kubo gone, I would hope, right?
Oh yeah.
Surely
gone by now.
Alec Can probably gone.
Probably. We got Rocco back there still, right?
Yeah.
Well, so Rocco's on loan.
Oh, is he?
So if we decide to keep him, I believe we have to pony up like $3 million.
Oh, where is he from? Lanús or
he came to us from Lanús as part of the Moreno deal.
Right.
But he's got American citizenship. So I believe he had a great season with the twos. I kind of feel that you want to keep him around.
Yeah. I think you keep him around, but I think Can's expiration date may be rapidly approaching. I don't know that you keep him on another season.
I've been thinking he's been trade bait for like the last three seasons, four seasons. And
I just don't think anyone's going to pick him up.
Yeah.
I think you keep Can. Yeah. If Can leaves, it's going to be because he wants to.
I guess, I don't know. I guess I don't see that happening then because he's on his hometown club and back up.
I think the most interesting question was just posed by Steven Perales, which is the one player that we haven't really talked about because we think about the big four. But Hyndman is on a contract right now, and he's coming back from this ACL injury. Do you keep him on coming in next season?
I don't know how you move him because how much longer is his contract?
I don't know. He's not on an option year. So we've probably got at least either he doesn't have an option next year.
Through the 2022 season is when we have him. Yeah. Bournemouth announced, we announced we grabbed him from Bournemouth through the end of the 2022 season. So
can you now buy out his contract and then release him?
I just don't know how much we would have to. It's not.
I don't know if you want to release him, though.
Yeah.
Because if we have to buy out anyone's contract, I'm buying out Dam's contracts.
Yeah. I don't know how long is Jurgen Dam on a contract. How's he on? How long is he on this contract?
Well, he's not in an option year and he's not out of contract.
I just like Dam is somebody that isn't going to be hindered by an injury. It's more so like, how is he fitting and playing within the system that's being deployed, right? Like, that's my concern with Hyndman, is that he's coming back from an injury. We've seen all of the issues with Joseph coming back from injury. Like, do you really expect Hyndman to come back and produce next season or the season after at some caliber that's going to be beneficial versus buying him out and having that spot available for somebody that you can depend on regularly?
I hate to say I don't know how buyouts really work in MLS and if they work the same way as they do in.
I believe you've got one buyout, but I can't remember. It's either one a season or one every. I think it's one a season.
I mean, if it was like the SEC, if it was like Auburn, we could just put him on the payroll along with the next five wingers that we let go season after season.
Right. And then he could go coach the Tar Heels.
Yeah. Wait, who? Who's doing that?
Yeah, we've got.
Isn't that where Gene Chizik's at right now?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
You have one buyout per season.
One buyout per season. Okay. Yeah. It's got to be Jurgen Dam then. But just because you have to free up that that money.
No, I keep Hyndman. I think you keep him around, see how he does.
Yeah.
I think he's going to come back better than Joseph. I thought he, you know, the time he was playing, he played, was really, really good.
Yeah. He played brilliantly under Heinze.
I thought he played really good under De Boer too.
Yeah.
The second best manager in Atlanta United history. Sorry. All right. Well, do we want to keep going through? Where are you, Tim?
Hold on just one second. I was just bringing up
Gene Chizik's contract.
Yeah. I was just wondering. It's been so long since I've seen Emerson Hyndman play. I was trying to think the last game that he had with us. He did play a couple games at least this season at the beginning, right? Okay. He played. Yeah. It looked like he played about 10. Yeah. The Lions have been.
He was having a pretty solid performance early this season.
Jake Mulroney, brought up by Jay Hannibal. Anyway, Mulroney is gone. He's one I think is like.
Yeah.
You think he stays?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's cheap. He's on 275,000. He's been decent backup.
Yeah. Mo Adams, I think probably done, right?
It depends on his injury concerns. He's making
many of those players like him and Sadic and others that are in the lineup, but we don't see that. I'm like, I don't know how a lot of these guys shake out, you know?
I think we'll probably keep him for depth because he has slotted in a number of different areas and kind of played different roles. He is purely a depth piece though. I would start Sadic and Rosetto over him, but I keep him on the roster because he's relatively cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
You guys ever think about, and this is very stupid because I know no players would ever listen to this show, but like, you ever imagine someone talking about your job? You'd be like, I don't know. Do we really keep him? Just you're out there busting your ass every day.
I mean, I listen.
Shit, you and don't... they're just like, I don't know. I mean, we could let him go. Who cares what happens to him, really? We could get somebody else in here.
Listening to Architect Daily on NPR. Kevin's performance has been pretty strong of late. Anyway.
Well, I mean, that's a thing. You know, when you go through like layoffs and things, those are exactly the conversations you have.
The difference is there aren't podcasts talking about it where I'm going to hear it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. There probably are. There are probably HR podcasts out there, right? Like, are there companies big enough that they have their own podcasts just internally talking about? No, so bring up Dan, because I didn't realize who was on the list. We only have a list of four players that are up for option at this moment.
That's
so
I guess
those four we should talk about. I guess we did. Eric Torres, we already said, is gone. Alec Cann is one of those four players. Then Mikey Ambrose and then Brooks Lennon. Obviously, I think Brooks Lennon has to be brought back, right?
Yeah.
Only one of the four that we keep.
Yeah.
Unless he wants Gressel money, and then you gone.
Yeah, there's no way he's getting Gressel money.
Better content is going to be how many, what's the over under, what's the line for number of Atlanta United players that end up at DC United at the end of the season?
I'm going to set the line at 2.5. Going just under, but okay.
You would hate to see go ahead.
Would you say Anton Walks? His salary?
You would hate to see Anton Walks go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. That's actually somebody who I was about to bring up.
Go for it.
Is he surplus to requirements at this point?
No.
Okay. If Miles Robinson doesn't move and the emergence of George Campbell and Alan Franco, is Anton Walks surplus to requirements?
No.
Okay.
I think if Miles goes, you need him even more. And I still think if Miles stays, you keep him. I mean, Anton's on $250,000.
So he's cheap.
He's pretty cheap. And I don't know.
Anton, if you're listening, you're cheap.
I feel like Anton is a future captain of this team. If he stays around,
look, Mikey Ambrose just joined the trap, dude.
What's up, Mike?
Oh, Mikey. I love Mikey Ambrose, but I feel like he's going to be gone.
He'll be back in like 2 years.
I don't know, man. I think Mikey's going to be...
A couple more Boy Scout badges, he'll be back.
Mikey's probably a few years away from retirement.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's absolutely a serviceable depth piece.
He was horrible this season, though. He wasn't.
That's because he kept getting put on right back.
Yeah, Heinz had put him in right back. It's like, what is this? What is this? What is going on here?
I expect him to perform.
Yeah. I guess Anton Walks, you would want to keep him. I think Pineda wants to play a four back. Do you need, if Robinson stays, do you need to keep four healthy center backs that are all capable of starting? Or do you shift somebody or ship somebody off and try to fortify a different position with that salary money? I mean, if it were up to Uncle Arthur, he would just open the checkbook and he would just bring in. It would be the Yankees of MLS, but that's not the case, unfortunately. That's unfortunately, yeah, that's true.
Speaking of which, you see, Santos got released today.
Jonathan Dos Santos.
Yeah.
Huh. That's a piece I wouldn't mind going after.
There's a couple of those that are out there floating around. Him, I guess rumors got it that Josie's out.
Santos.
Josie's out this season from Toronto as well. Oh, speaking of Toronto, you see Bob Bradley announced as their next.
Oh, I hate Toronto even more now.
Yeah. Yeah, real nepotism situation going on over there. He got Michael Bradley got his dad hired.
That's fine. Keep playing Michael Bradley. Keep playing.
Yeah. What other release?
That's one way to play into your 40s.
He's gonna get to the point where you can't tell which one of them is out on the field.
I'll tell my dad. Yeah. Oh yeah, well my dad's the coach.
My dad is a manager.
My dad works at Nintendo.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I was trying to look up roster moves.
So Hernandez is confirmed he is not going back to Aberdeen. So you think that one could make the assessment that he will be purchased.
Huh. Yeah, that is interesting. Oh, some other
we're gonna need a left back depth beyond Bateman.
Dude, Nani's gone from Orlando.
That's not a bad pickup.
Yeah.
Sign him to a 1-year deal.
Yeah, we're not gonna be able to afford him though.
No. Kyle Duncan is gone from Red Bulls, he's going to Belgium. Georgie Mihailovic. There's three players from Montreal that are training with Bologna, which is interesting. He's a guy that I think needs to get out of MLS. Georgie is a great young player.
Yeah, he is. Man, loved. I did. He's only making 600,000. It's come to Atlanta.
Matt Beisler retired. Jovinko might be coming back to Toronto. Shit. Yeah. Cruz Azul's going after Rui Diaz. It really is silly season already. Like, is this back to normal? This is awesome. I like this. Yeah, it says
I'm not surprised that Rui Diaz would move on, though. I mean, he's been fucking lighting it up.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Total killer, man.
Yeah. Gustavo Bow staying for another two seasons in New England. That's a fucking coup for them because he is pretty incredible. Who else? Karim Benzema is open to a move to MLS.
Surely he's going to Miami, though, right?
Yeah, probably. Ricardo Pepi getting pursued by Wolfsburg. Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, so can you imagine, like Brittany S. bringing up Jozy Altidore's availability? Can you imagine if he ended up in Atlanta? The crowd would not know what to do with themselves.
I mean, Jozy Altidore. So let's talk about, I feel, is there anybody else we want to talk about before we go into?
I don't think so.
I mean, Franco's not going anywhere. Dijon probably is going. Sadic, potentially. Rosetto, we haven't talked about. But
yeah,
either way, hopefully we're getting rid of Dam. Wolf and Chol are probably going to stay, though I could see Chol maybe going. But the other guy I just wanted to touch on before we change subjects is Eric Lopez. You know, he was a pretty highly touted guy when he came in. I think we paid 3 point something million for him. Had a terrible season with us and didn't do all that good in the twos. So you wonder, he's so young. What is he, like 19 or something?
Eric Lopez? Yeah, something like that.
Lopez is 20. How much further do you...
Yeah.
You don't.
You don't? You let him go?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I feel like he's so young. I mean, talk to Pineda, but I feel like it's a come to Jesus moment for him. You either put up this year or he's gone next year.
Because he's on decent money, right?
He is on.
Brittany S. asking if we would pull that early. I don't know.
He's on.
Better to pull out early than too late.
He's guaranteed compensation.
Look at these guys.
Half a mil?
Yeah. So his base is 340. So he's got to have some. Surely. I don't exactly how that works. That must be some. Well, his base salary right now is 340.
Yeah. I don't know.
So he's probably on the lower to mid end of his age range and position.
I just didn't see anything that exciting from him whenever he played for us.
No, I didn't. But when I saw him play, it was for Heinze and he was terrible. He didn't know what to do. And fair. I think that was just more on Heinze with what he was trying to get. But then he's not breaking through. So
that's fair.
And Rob probably didn't know him. Rob Valentino probably didn't really know him that well.
He's been injured too, right? Or no, what?
I don't think so.
But he spent most of the season injured. I may be wrong. Well, that doesn't seem great.
I don't know. I think for the money you've spent on him, you keep him around another year. See what you can do. See what Gonzalo can.
I don't know.
Put it together with. All right.
I don't know if I have much else.
So we're going to need a backup striker. I feel like backup striker right now, with the way the team is currently constructed, is the biggest need. And then if it goes the way we're predicting, that and left back are going to be needs. So I was looking through who the free agents and options are. So Danny Royer is one who's out there. He's currently on 750. He is a free agent. And then Will Bruin is also a free agent, and he's on 500K. He's 32, so he's a higher end, but he played pretty good for Seattle. And of course, Pranena knows him. He may be a good guy to bring in just as a backup. He's got a ton of experience. He can still perform. I think he got 4 goals this year in a relatively few amount of appearances.
Would you not go with his teammate that produced even better, even though he's 34 years old, and Freddie Montero, and only had like $80,000 in guaranteed compensation?
Well, he's not out of contract.
He's an option, though.
He's an option.
Yeah. And if they let him go, I would scoop him in a fucking heartbeat.
He's 34?
Yeah, who cares, though? He put it, like, what did he score? 6 goals and 18 appearances at 34 years old? Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No.
I feel like you could roll the dice with either of them, man.
Yeah.
Other ones of note, Fafapiko is out of contract. He was on 500K. Bradley White Phillips is out of contract. And Eric Hurtado is also out, who, you know, not as great. I don't think he had that great a year with Columbus. But
he played for Vancouver at some point, right?
He did, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I think you make a good, I didn't realize on Freddie Montero. That's a good one, Tim. So you could bring Freddie, Will Bruin. I think Danny Royer is probably going to be too much money, or potentially Fafapiko, to see what we can bring in for backup striker.
Yeah.
But
getting,
I mean,
called out and you got to grab your Fafapiko. No, it's getting a little.
Well, I mean,
outside.
He's still pretty fast, so that's good. But then, you know, you want to really bring in someone who is going to just piss people off. It's Jozy Altidore. But then he can't stay healthy, so.
No. I mean, if they don't exercise the option on Jordan Morris, he's probably going to go sign with a championship club, right?
Is he, though?
He was playing really well for, was it Swansea that he was playing for before he got injured?
He played like a game or two.
Oh, you're right. It was 4 games, but yeah, never mind.
I would love Jordan Morris to come here.
Yeah. I mean, of course you would, the whole diabetes connection,
right?
But yeah, Teshulkin Daly is another one. Did you already mention him?
I did not.
You can look at him as being I don't know that he had the absolute best year for Orlando, but I feel like he put in a handful of goals for them this
he
season.
He did. Yeah, he was a good backup.
Yeah. So I guess he only had three goals, but I'm trying to think who else. I'm trying to look at the rest of this list.
David Maxi Aruti.
I like, and Victor Ulloa. I mean, I guess if we're looking at just forwards. Yeah, Aruti's probably a little past his prime. I guess we're not looking at guys in their prime. That's not what we're trying to fill here, because we're not trying to replace Joseph. We're trying to get some help. I don't know. I mean, I would go after Kellen Acosta in a heartbeat. Sorry, I know we're talking about forwards, but seeing his name on that list, if somehow Colorado doesn't keep him, I think that's a no-brainer to try and go after him, and especially knowing that Sosa's probably going to move on at some point, right?
Yeah, it's just if we can afford him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So I think I want to shoot a reboot of the movie Blank Check, but have it starring Gonzalo Pineda as the kid, and then he could just go sign whoever he wants.
I mean, if Darren Eales had his way, that would be what happens.
Yeah. Wow, Seattle has six guys with options. That's crazy. I guess Minnesota has seven. I guess there are a few of note. Will Trapp, and Juan Agudelo is another guy that's past his prime, I guess, at this point. What do you think about
it? Past his prime. I mean, Will Trapp's on 747.
Yeah, he's pretty pretty expensive guy.
I mean, I'd love to bring in Dax McCarty, but there's no way Nashville are going to let him go for nothing.
Yeah. Anyway, we're just like looking at a list and talking about it at this point. Kevin, are you still there?
It's like listening to a podcast. It's just white noise whenever I'm at the office. Gotten so much work done this show, guys.
Glad to know we're not even one that you save for your commute. Yeah. Albert Rusnak is out of contract. Another one that's going to be too expensive.
Yeah. I don't know. Will Bruin is out of contract.
Yeah.
So, and Freddie Montero's got an option.
Yeah. Abu Dunlady is another guy that maybe you try and resurrect some of that potential that he had. I don't think he really had a standout tenure with Nashville, right? Former first overall pick over Miles Robinson. I don't think he played great for them, but I don't know. There are a lot of options out there if you want to stick with an MLS of guys who are released. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Fun times ahead. I don't know how to feel. Adam Buxa? No, not a chance. There's no chance. I don't think they would get rid of him. But, Kevin,
what
else you got?
I don't know, man. It's a bunch of names. Sounds like a bunch of options. Sounds like some people are going to leave. Some people are going to stay. Some people are going to come. Some people are going to go. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a fun offseason. First offseason in a while that we don't have a new manager coming in. So I'm looking forward to that at least. That's one thing that I don't think is going to happen in the offseason.
Unless Schmetzer steps down and Seattle poaches Pineda back. But
we don't have a new manager.
Yeah, no kidding. So looking forward to that at least. Looking forward to a long offseason here. Well, not really that long. Back in February, I think they announced our season opener already. I forget who they said that was.
Sporting Kansas City.
That's what it was. You guys bummed that it's not Charlotte?
Nah.
Oh, expansion draft.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the other thing too, is that so we'll see some changes in both conferences next season. Nashville moves to the West with Charlotte joining the East, ridiculous. Which seems really, really strange to me.
Are they
too,
really so. The furthest team west in the East, or is Chicago?
I don't know. I don't know geometry, Tim.
He's just a dumb architect.
You guys hear that? Like, they're going to talk about that on Architecture Daily tomorrow. How Kevin's talking about how he doesn't know geometry, but he's like, he's an architect. I can't wait to hear that. Now, yeah, I mean, Chicago's further west than Nashville is, isn't it?
I don't know. I certainly think it's going to hurt them, to Jay Hinnaball's point, that Nashville's going to get kind of squashed in the West, but we'll see. They had a really good run this season. They're still on one. They took out our buddies down south in Orlando, so kudos to them. At least they've got that going for them and helped us out on their way out, so I'll take that every day. So but yeah, I don't really have anything else, Tim. Like I said, it's the off season. Anything can happen. I think that there's a few players that you can look forward to seeing move on, and I'm excited to see what happens with the lineup going forward, and I think that Panenka is going to have a big part in that this season in a way that other managers in the past haven't really had the benefit of being able to coming into a season after all those acquisitions have been made. So,
yeah. Any predictions for MLS Cup? I mean, my non-Atlanta United pick is still in it and looking pretty good in Portland.
Who was mine?
Seattle.
Red Bulls.
Yep, it was Red Bulls.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
What was yours, Dan?
Atlanta United, probably.
No.
LAFC?
If not Atlanta United, Tim said Portland, Dan said Seattle, and I said Red Bulls.
I'm going with Jay Hannibal and Justin Miram, RSL.
Yeah.
God, it's right. Past my bedtime. You guys, I look like a heroin addict on the stream. My eyes are so sunken in red.
It's all right.
Yeah. It's past bedtime, guys.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We might check back at some point. If we don't, have a happy holiday, whatever holiday, whenever holiday that may be. If we don't talk to you before the new year, hopefully we'll at least check back in. You can find us on Twitter in the meantime, at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled B and the number 4. Tim, I know you got some stuff coming up in December for those trying to get their holiday shopping needs.
Yes.
Where can they find you during the month of December?
You can find me at Tim Herb on Instagram, but also my wife Angie and I will be both posted up with separate tables at Corner Cup, local coffee place in
that's
Tucker.
The one in downtown Tucker, not
the one
the
in
one
Tucker,
in
not
Decatur.
The one in Decatur, yeah, not yep. Decatur, the one in Tucker. We're going to be there from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the 11th of December and the 12th of December with our wares. I'll have cutting boards and coasters and mallets and charcuterie boards, and Angie will have tons of awesome original art illustrations, prints, calendars, that sort of thing. Great, great gifts for all you Slacker shoppers. And just come out and see us in, like, we'd love to see you. It's our first art market we're doing together. You know, I've gone to a lot with her. I've only done one with my stuff, and she was there supporting me, not with her stuff, but like, we're both going to be there with our shit. So it's going to be fun.
That'd be great.
That sounds awesome, Tim. But Kevin, in true Home Before Dark fashion, we should make a prediction. As they have separate tables, who is going to bring in the most money? Is it going to be Tim or is it going to be Angie?
Okay, so
Kevin, I'll let you pick first.
So it comes down to economics, right? Like, you've got a supply and demand sort of function that you've got to factor in here. Mm-hmm, whereas Tim's supply is much less, therefore driving up the demand and as such the prices, which are higher.
Right.
Angie's demand is comparable to the amount of production that she has. She has a lot more available. Mm-hmm. So her prices are a little bit lower. So it's like, how much quantity will each sell because the prices are so drastically different.
Mm-hmm. But what's the quality aspect?
Both are great. Both are top. Is it the both same top-notch quality? Players? I think that this. I think they both still have a. They're not at their ceiling yet.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that you still justify keeping them in the roster because they're. You can sell both of them later on at a much higher value because they're continuing to improve at their craft, and I think it's worth everyone going out to see it.
But what about? I mean, you said Angie's demand is more, and therefore she's got more product. Does it just come down to Tim's laziness, or like where? I'm trying to find a case to pick Tim.
Dan just called me a deadbeat dad, so I don't love that.
So how does Angie, what I'm trying to say, Kevin, how does Angie not win this?
So I think that Angie doesn't win it because a lot of her orders have already been placed online in a way that Tim's have not been marketed and sold yet.
Oh.
So the products that she'll be selling there are also comparable to things that she has through the website and that she's selling online, whereas Tim has commissions and stuff that he does separately. But a lot of what he sells at these events are just at those events.
So, yeah, but... surely if Angie has more online orders, she's going to have more exposure to, exposure to
Absolutely.
Public, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So surely the public are going to be coming to see
Angie. It's going to take a lot more for them to catch up at Angie's prices to Tim's price evaluation. Does that make sense? Then also... Angie's driving people to see Tim's things and they're already there and probably familiar with. And I think that people that are going to see Angie's stuff can afford to get Angie's stuff and Tim's stuff that they maybe, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's going to be a double dipping there. That's going to be occurring. That
do you think Angie's doing that as like a pity thing? Like,
I mean, I think she's been doing that since they got together. Really? Right. I mean, no,
I take that as you're calling me South American Player of the Year.
So pity. So I feel like we're going to have to take website.
Tim is the. Because... I don't know if you know this, but Tim is the South American Woodworker of the Year.
I don't think that's fair, Kevin. To be honest, to say Tim's already peaked is unfair.
It's Gonzalo Herb Martinez over there you're talking to.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be in the office where Ryan was just double logging sales to make sure to show that the website was getting them. I feel like that Tim's doing the opposite. He's like going back on the website and just, you know, scribbling in his logbook, made up sales.
We're going to share we're sharing a square. So
yeah.
Sharing a square.
A square reader for a card swiping.
Okay.
Look, it all goes to the same household. All goes to feeding that newborn baby of theirs. So go out there and fucking support.
She's eating solid food now. She's eating solid food now. We're about to get run out of house and home.
I mean, people need to go out there and they need to go buy products from both of them to test the quality. And then they can give us good, honest reviews of how excellent this stuff is. Because, I mean, to be fair, I've been on Tim's Instagram and it's fantastic stuff. I love his charcuterie boards. My wife has got into doing charcuterie platters, so it makes sense that I would get them. Plus the mallets. Remember we talked about the mallets and the Lewis bags for smashing rice for cocktails?
Oh yeah.
I still haven't bought one of those. There you go. Look at that. That's fantastic. Well, look at that joinery.
This will be for sale. Look at those wedge tenons.
Yep. Help Tim support his child's food budget.
So find Tim at Tim Herb, and you can find his wife, Angie. It's at Angie Kakoma, right?
Angie Kakoma Herb.
Okay. Find one. You'll find them both. You'll find them all. You'll love them all. Be sure to go see them out at Corner Cup in Tucker, downtown Tucker, December 11th and 12th from 8 till what did you say?
2 p.m. 8 a.m., 2 p.m.
Dan, where can they find you at this off season?
You probably won't find me anywhere, to be honest.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Find me on Instagram at the architect. That's at the underscore ARC. TECT. If you got my phone number, add me on Apple Watch if you want to be put to shame like Dan is every day.
Yeah, I still come out there and go at it, though. Every day.
So, thank you guys so much. It's been a hell of a season through all the ups and downs. It's been great to have you guys around. So, thank you so much. We'll see you next time, whether it's before next season or before you even think to think of us, we'll be here. So be sure to like and subscribe on YouTube. Hit that bell icon to get a notification if we go live. If not, we'll see you soon. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled B in the number four. And we'll see you next time. As always, be home before dark.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.